It's Thursday, the 28th of September, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul. Welcome back.
Good evening, Paul.
Well, I was here last week, wasn't I?
Yeah, I know, but I had to do the tinkering, so it just felt weird.
Ah, yeah, we've got an intro. You can tell that there's somebody knows what he's doing back in control. So, and we promise we won't have Aaron singing you out this week either, guys. So,
oh, I enjoyed that. That was the best bit.
His favourite part.
That was last week's best bit.
There's a chance it's going to be this week's best bit when we look at the games we've got to review. Yes. We're obviously a little bit late in the week because Devils had a game last night. But before we can get on to the 4-0 win over Dundee, we do have to touch on the 0-point weekend and absolute. I'm struggling to think of words that didn't win.
Farce
that were our games against Milton Keynes and Manchester. We will struggle to choose a player of the week. Have a look at the DOPS decisions that have affected Cardiff. Your Rahmites. We've got a burning question as well. We can have a quick chat about Mark Richardson's testimonial at the end of next month before previewing the upcoming home games against the Brayhead Clan and Vexhill Lakers. But we'll start off with Milton Keynes. Another Challenge Cup game. We Devils just don't do well in the Challenge Cup as a rule. Seems to be the, in the group stages anyway, seems to be the given. But we took it to quite new levels on Saturday, coming out 5-2 losers. Guillaume Doucette put Milton Keynes in the lead after 7 minutes on the power play. And it was probably quite an even first period. And you know, it wasn't against the run of play when Patrick Aslin equalised with a minute and a half left. And then things went very wrong. 2.5 minutes into the second, another Cardiff old boy, Carl Hudson, put Milton Keynes into the lead. 5 minutes later, another Cardiff old boy, Denny Kearney, doubled the lead with another power play goal and an assist for Doucette as well. And before the period was done, Denny Kearney had scored two goals in the game, double the amount that he scored for us last season. And the Devils were 4-1 down going into the end of the second period. That second period is some of the worst ice hockey I've ever watched the Devils play. Sean and Aaron weren't at the game, so they'll just have to take my word for it. But it was an absolutely atrocious 20 minutes. There was very little, if anything, good to say about it. Other than Ben Bounce, who I genuinely think we could have been close to double figures had he had an off night. Third period starting, the Devils did come out well. And you know, we had a lot of zone time at the start of the third. Lewis Hook took another 2 minutes for hooking. I think he just does it on purpose because it's such a good pun. And then Milton Keynes managed to kill the penalty, but you know, on the same shift, just 4 seconds later, Sean Bentivoglio put the Devils back in the game. And at 4-2, I genuinely had a little inkling of belief. But even at the time, I was thinking if this was last season, I'm sure you know, both of you would agree, if we were 4-1 down and got a goal at the start of the third, last season you'd almost make us favourites in most games, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't have quite that belief, but you know, the Devils definitely kept at it. A good sort of 10 minutes, and I don't know if we've run out of steam, but it almost just seemed to get away from us. But we did keep trying. Credit to Andrew Hotham, who worked his bag off, and I know he does always, but he'd be defending, then he'd be behind the Milton Keynes goal, battling for the puck, getting the puck out, getting himself back to the blue line everywhere. But you know, eventually it took his toll, and with 3.5 minutes left, it was nice to see a non-former player get a goal for Milton Keynes, with Ludvig Carlsson getting the fifth to make it 5-2 and put the game to bed. There's really not a lot else that can be said about it. The two Devils goals were nice, and we did have a decent 10 minutes, but you know, 10 minutes isn't enough in any game at our level. And yeah, a massively disappointing night, which is it coming off the back of a decent weekend? Well, obviously a brilliant weekend in terms of points with 4 points. But it just seemed that we didn't remember any of that. And it was almost a carbon copy of the Guildford debacle the week before. But it was a heavy defeat, and you know, Devils fans went home very unhappy. But you know, just looking at the shots, Cardiff had 21 shots in the third period, which says a lot, but Milton Keynes had 23 in the second, just showing just how one-sided that second period was. But Sean, after a defeat like that, you'd have expected a big bounce back from the Devils the next night at home. It's another team, you know, not expected to be challenged at the top of the table this year and back in league action.
Yeah, definitely. I just a query, Paul. Milton Keynes, who was in goal for him? Was it...
On Saturday, they played Adombri. Weekman played on Sunday in whatever game they had. They're currently running both of them, whether that's just while he's coming back from injury or what. But okay. He looked a decent goal. I don't think he didn't stand out as much as I think Weekman did when we played them at home the week before. But, you know, we were saying that, oh, they've got to keep hold of Weekman, but it's not a bad other option they've got if he does go.
Okay, cool. But, yeah, as you mentioned, you look to bounce back after a result like that. You know, I think the performers more than anything should have sparked a reaction and a good performance. Because judging by what you said, I thought that we would bounce back, because that's the sort of mentality that, whenever we perform badly in the last couple of years, we've always at least bounced back with a performance. And needless to say, we we definitely didn't get that on Sunday.
Though it wasn't, we were 2-0 down at the end of the first, couple of power play goals. But the first period actually seemed quite positive, I thought.
Yeah, there were spells when, going forward, we seemed to sort of, gain the zone quite well, set up, make some good plays. You know, you look at the shots, we outshot Manchester 11-6, which, you know, it's 2-1, but we seem to have some good quality chances. And Manchester, in fairness, did take advantage of their power play opportunities. And our kill did not look up to its best. I've got to be honest, we've been a very, very good penalty killing team the last, the Devils have historically have just been a good killing team, mainly because of bad discipline in previous years, but more so under Andrew Lord, we've been disciplined, and when we haven't been, we've always been a very, very good killing team. And that, I think, not often have I said after a game, our penalty kill was atrocious, but in that game, our penalty kill was absolutely diabolical. And I didn't think that we were awful in that first period in terms of going forward. I thought we didn't look like we weren't going to create anything. We looked like we were generating some good chances and putting bodies in front of the net, and didn't really have a terrible first period, but then it just went horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, like you said, we gave up 3 power play opportunities in the first, and you know, 2 of them were capitalised on. And then the next penalty. So you're at the start of the game, 4 penalties, and we'd had 3 power play goals scored on us, which is pretty woeful. I remember quite a bit of the first period, but the second period is much less. I think the early goal, just 3 minutes in from Chris Auger. I say names my way. I feel like there's no need to correct me. Everyone knows what I mean.
It was Chris Auger.
Thank you, Aaron. Sean, you're outvoted. It's Chris Auger.
Well,
you also got the short-handed empty net goal right at the end, which we'll come on to. Chris Auger. That was his hat-trick goal. Chris Auger scored a hat-trick. but 6.5 minutes into the second, Dallas Earhart. Sean, do you want to correct me on that?
No, it's one of the best names ever, so.
Dalai Earhart or anything? Okay, excellent. So 4-0 down, and yet again, you know, we're on the wrong end of a hefty scoreline for the second time in the weekend, at the end of the second period. I will be honest, while I can't remember a lot of the second, I don't actually think I watched the third. I was sort of wandering around the rink doing various other things. But Aaron, how did that third period go? Was it as bad as the rest?
Paul, I didn't really watch, to be honest. I just zoned out and watched.
This is the type of insight that people tune into Red Army Roundup week after week. I'm glad that we're bringing it.
It was just such like after the first period where I thought we played well, it was just, it just went completely downhill. You know, like a couple of, I wouldn't say Tom Daly had a bad night. He just missed some decisions that he would have, like he did call on Manchester. So that was frustrating to me, and probably that's where, you know, the devil's heads dropped, and you know, thinking they're not going to get a decision and things like that. But it was just all around poor performance. You know, we wasn't playing Cardiff Devils hockey. We wasn't chasing pucks down. We was letting Manchester just take control. And you know, Storm aren't one of the better teams in this league. You know, they finished quite low in the table last year, so we are expected to, you know, beat them. And the way we performed, it was the opposite way around. It was like we were a bottom level team and they was top, and they just smashed us, and it was so disappointing to watch. And by the end of the game, I was just laughing at the mistakes we were making, the turnovers. The only thing I think we did well was win face-offs, and after the face-off, we couldn't do much else. But although, you know, we played poor, you can't take it away from Manchester. They played well, and their goalie, Mike Clemente, played excelente. So,
and, yeah, I think it's worth saying as well that
you played really well.
Manchester are a much improved team on last year. They didn't have Ryan Finnerty on the bench after the birth of his daughter the night before, so congratulations to him. But, yeah, you're right. They're not expected to be right there at the top of the table. They're a big team, and they were a lot quicker than expected, which when you saw a lot of the names they were signing, I assume they were going to be quite a slow team and massively struggle on the big ice, Sean. But you know, are they going to be good on big ice, do you think, or do you just think they came up against... You know, not taking anything from their performance, but they just came up against an extremely off-colour team.
Like you just said, they didn't have their bench. Manchester aren't built to play on big ice. I think we chatted about that last week. They're not a team which is not naturally going to be their advantage. They're a team built to win at home. And they will scalp a result now and again on the big ice. But plain and simple, you know, they were without their bench. They were without their head coach. I think they did have a full roster. Mike Clemente came in and had a good game. But overall, Manchester came to Cardiff and they wanted to win that game more than the Devils wanted to win it on their home ice. Plain and simple. Their will to win was there. They won nearly every battle through the course of the game. When things weren't going their way and we were maybe a bit dominant in the first, they stood their ground. They took advantage of their opportunities. They grounded out for every puck. They hit everything that moved. Their will to win was there, and our will to win was completely just out the window. Didn't turn up, and we didn't deserve anything from the game, quite frankly. And I know we say this oft. I know we say this sometimes, but it's the sort of game where you look at Mark Richardson and think, you know what, Richie had a bit of a bad game, and that's you know it's written on the wall. If Mark Richardson has a bad game, then we're in major, major trouble, because that's your most consistent performer there and then. The one shining light from the game was that I thought Craig Moore was absolutely out of this world. And if anyone deserved any sort of result or consolation from that game, it was Craig Moore.
Yeah, definitely had not necessarily his strongest game, but definitely put himself out there and, you know, was the most noticeable of the Devils players, you know, a deserved man of the match. So in a way, I was almost disappointed when the Devils got the goal, not because I didn't want us to come back, but I just didn't feel that our performance even deserved a goal. It was, you know, and over the weekend, I was quite disillusioned by the time that we got our consolation through Joey Haddad. Not a good weekend at all. I'm sure though, if the Devils could have chosen their fixtures to come off the back of a disappointing weekend, that they look to bounce back as soon as possible against, you would choose Dundee, I would imagine. You're a team that is really not expected to do a lot this year. Have picked up some good results. We're unbeaten at home prior to our game. But, you know, if you want to bounce back, that's the team to do it against. And, Devils came out in, you know, solid style, Sean, and, you know, worked their way to a hard fought, you know, not hard fought, but a solid victory without, you know, doing too much.
Yeah, we came up with we came up against a Dundee team which seemed to sort of sit back and let us play our game, and we got on the board nice and early, a good early marker from Justin Freeman on his return to Dundee.
Really nice goal, just to say.
Yeah,
that
it was a nice goal. Yeah,
defenseman and
yeah, and it was a good finish as well, because I think Freeman didn't really sort of try and attempt to take a shot or anything as the puck was going towards him. Felt the trajectory of the puck coming towards him off the pass from Nain Elmer, put his stick on the ice and just angled it in. And it was a good goal, like you said. It was actually a night where we did score some nice goals and some good goals. So it was good to sort of see that. We scored a power play goal. Matthew Myers on the power play lineup out there with Bentivoglio and Morissette, a bit of a change up. And just a Matthew Myers goal, really, a bit of a poacher in front of net. Rebound comes out and he gets a stick on it for his, I think it's his first Elite League goal of the year. And then Patrick Asling comes up and makes it 3-0 before the end of the first period with, again, another nice goal. Good work from Andrew Hotham and Joey Martin on the assists on that one. And I think we knew then that was pretty much game, set and match. And I think to get guys like Farina, Ulmer with a bit of production on there, he actually added the fourth goal off the bullet from Drew Paris, but just getting the offense going again, I feel like that's a very important thing to do after you have two drubbins like we did. Three goals in a weekend against Milton Keynes and Manchester is an abysmal record for a Cardiff Devils team of the last 3-4 years, and just unacceptable, quite frankly. So to get the offensive juices flowing and the creativity, the confidence built back up, Farina gets on the score sheet, Ulmer gets a couple of points, Patrick Asland scores as well. So yeah, like you said, it was a good game for us to come back and bounce back with. I don't think it was a particularly strong performance. I don't think it needed to be, because I thought Dundee were poor. But it does help, like you said, to play against a team like that and just have some confidence going for you is a massive thing in a club in a team that's just not riding its best wave of form. And yeah, good result for us overall.
Yeah, and to top it off, Aaron, there was a bit of penalty kill practice in the second. Andrew Hotham, obviously, taking a bit of exception to his ice time and sat almost directly back-to-back minus for slashing and then tripping. Devils killing off five power plays from Dundee. So, a confidence boost on the special teams as well, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. It's, we only managed to score one power play goal, but one's better than none. And our penalty kill was outstanding, so it's a huge step in the right direction. The only way we can go from last weekend's games is up, so hopefully we can turn it around. Hotham can stay out the bin, maybe stop taking some selfish penalties, and we won't have to worry about killing penalties, but at least we shut them out on the penalty front. So
I think one other thing to mention, Josh Batch putting himself around a fair bit. I think it was early on in the third, it looked as if, well, on the webcast, as much as you can tell, it looked like there was a bit of a high-ish hit on Craig Moore from a Dundee player. And Batch just came steaming straight in and, just laid a hit in. He's a little bit late, but you're one of those that was just you make sure you don't do that again. And then with probably about a minute and a half left, Batch, slashed someone's stick, maybe a little bit high, took a bit, I think it was Hurnick. I'm not even close on that being right, but Sean, let's not worry about it. Hurnick took a bit of exception, add words as the puck went down the other end. And when Batch passed the puck, he just came in with a bit of a late hit and the camera cut away, but it came back and they'd already dropped gloves, and Josh Batch did what Josh Batch does best with a resounding win. Another new import thinking, I'll take on the Brit, they're not going to be tough, and finding out that Josh Batch definitely knows how to throw him. But it was good to see him throughout the game, sticking up, Sean, and maybe sort of trying to be that fourth line energy player and just put a bit of a spark through the team.
Yeah, I think the last couple of weeks Josh Batch has been just such an asset to us, but doing what he does best. We mentioned last week how good he was on defence, and he had his best weekend probably as a Cardiff Devil in a number of years. And then you know, he comes back out this weekend with, this week with a good scrap, and Batch is one of the toughest guys. If someone said put your toughest guy out there, you're like, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to put Batch out there against anyone in the league because I think he can hold his own. I think he's a legitimate heavyweight in this league. I think he's tough as nails, and I think he's a good fighter as well. You know, he can not only is he tough and he can take a punch, but he's a good fighter as well. And it's a very, very big, you know, attribute to his game. He's good in other areas, but it's one thing that he is particularly good at, and that he can, you know, he'd make a name for himself. His fight card's got to be getting, you know, he's getting quite a reputation on with his fight cards. So, I think more than anything as well is that's an area which, you know, people love you for that, including teammates. And Batch, maybe the last couple of years, maybe his confidence has maybe, you know, deteriorated a little bit, but performances last weekend, a fight like that, little things like that, just to get his hockey brain and his mentality, his attitude, you know, I'm sure his attitude is not bad by any stretch, but just to get sort of that sort of motivation and to put good things back into your game and start enjoying hockey and getting appreciated for it. And yeah, Batch has had a really good couple of weeks, and if he carries on, he's going to be, yeah, I just think he's done a lot of good things for himself in terms of his performance, his versatility. He's done what's asked of him, and he's just a massive, massive part of our machine at the moment. Massive cog in our machine.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better. That was the week. A very mixed week, I think, is the politest way of putting it. Does make next time to choose a player of the week, though. Let's ask Aaron, who gets your pick?
I'm going to go Craig Moore, brilliant night, Saturday night. I didn't really see much of him in Dundee. You know, he did play his part, obviously, in the win, but I'm going to go with Justin Farina. I thought out of the few performances Sunday night, he played outstanding. He scored a goal on Wednesday. I can't comment on Saturday's game because I missed it, but, you know, he went up to Dundee and played his game. Justin Farina for me, I thought he played brilliantly in the two games that I watched of his, and, you know, he's proven to be one of the players of one of our new signings that actually is doing his bit for the team. So, yeah, Justin Farina for me.
I'll go next. I'm likely to be the only one to pick it, being the only one that was there on Saturday, but it's going to be Ben Bams, I guess, my vote. As I said, Saturday could have been 5-2 is a bit of a mauling, but it could have been a massacre. If he hadn't been on form, he made some genuine, really high quality saves. He got pulled at 4-0 against Manchester, but I felt that was a lot more to do with protecting him than his performance. I think he was hung up to dry totally, for most of the, if not all of the goals. And then a 20-plus shot shutout in Dundee. So, yeah, I think in terms of if you're looking across all three games, it'd be Ben Bams, I guess, my vote. He's probably the only one that can come out with his head pretty much held high after all of his performances. So Farina and Bams so far. Sean, are we split again or have we got a winner?
Split again. I'm going to go with Andrew Hotham because I didn't see Saturday, but you said he tried to... you know, he just didn't stop working, tried to make things happen. On Sunday, I thought he did exactly the same thing. I thought he worked his absolute nuts off and just tried to pick, you know, tried to spark something. And then on Wednesday, a couple of penalties, but like you said, his shift length was very long and they were taken towards the ends of his shifts. And, I thought he just was Andrew Hotham and does what he does best, tried to pick the team up. And overall, I thought, through the three games, based on what you said on Saturday and what I saw Sunday and Wednesday, I just think he was the best of the bunch.
Excellent. And regular listener Tommy Dickin did suggest to me that if in the event of a tie, it should just be my decision. But we're not going to do that. We're having another split week. I couldn't stand the rebellion that might come from Sean and Aaron if I tried to do that. We are making it nice and easy to add up our players of the week at the end of the season. For the Renami Roundup Player of the Year, because we're just not picking any at the moment, so it's going to make the adding a lot easier. But yeah, so I almost feel like, given the way the weekend went, it's right that there isn't a player of the week. I think for once, I'm quite happy with that decision. Dops, there was one incident that was missed, I think, by most of the fans in attendance, or Devils fans anyway, at the far end of the rink. You know, some Devils fans were even shouting, moaning that there was a 2 minute minor given to Paul Crowder for high sticks. But the replay that was shared on Twitter not long after the game showed that what he'd actually done was just try to take a baseball bat swing at someone's face and luckily caught the shoulder instead, resulting in no injury. Quite rightly, it was requested for review by Milton Keynes, and he received a 3-match ban from it. Aaron, do you think it's the right length of a ban?
You know, it's a dangerous situation to be in, you know, when you're swinging at people's heads. But if you go on past decisions by Dops on it, you know, you had Peacock, who I don't even think had a ban. Then you had, I think it was Robinson, who had one game. So I do think it's a fair decision. You know, it could have been a lot worse. Thankfully, it's not. But yeah, I agree with it. You know, you don't go swinging sticks at people's heads. You know, someone lost, like, had to retire from hockey in the NHL from something like that. So it's obviously very dangerous. But yeah, I agree with it. I'm not going to miss him anyway. But yeah, it's the right decision in my mind.
Aaron is tactful as ever. Sean, for you, you know, obviously, rightly or wrongly, most hockey bans are judged not just on intent, but injury as well. So with no injury on the play, do you think 3 games was about the right length, or do you no. think things should be clamped down on?
Yeah, in my opinion, and I'll say this as a Devils fan, not long enough. If someone had done that to one of our players, regardless of injury or not, I know you can't, you know, ban him for life or anything, which as a Devils fan, I'd love for other players to be banned for life for trying to hurt our guys, but I don't think it sends a clear enough message to the league. I think that slashing is an area which in the NHL now they're looking to start cutting down on. And I think it was not only is it a slash, but it's a high slash as well. It's a brutal, you know, it's just not a hockey play at all. I appreciate there's a battle going on in front of the net, but that's just, you know, I don't think it's long enough. I don't think it sends a message enough to the rest of the league. Yes, in comparison, you know, you look at Robinson, Peacock, maybe, you know, in comparison to those, maybe it's fair, but I don't think those decisions were right either. I think that, you know, I think Crowder should be sat for at least 5-6 games, regardless of injury or not.
Is your opinion that injury shouldn't affect the length of a ban, that you should have 5-6 games regardless of the outcome, or?
I think, you know, you look at the intent there, and, you know, I don't think he intends to injure him, but he's very lucky that he wasn't injured, and, you know, should he get off lightly because he wasn't injured? I don't think so. I really, really don't. Sucker punch, you know, for an example, very, very basic example, sucker punch, to the back of the head, guy lands, you know, on the back of his head with his helmet on or with his helmet off, concussion in one, concussion in the other, still gets sucker punched, and total disregard for I just don't agree with it. I think that the intent is there to slash someone to the head, and he's very, very lucky that he wasn't injured, and I think Crowder should be sitting for 5-6 games. Just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I, to give my opinion, I think in the way that bans are handed out, and it's not just the Elite League, it is, you know, the NHL as well, that injury is taken into account. I think 3 games is probably about the right length, but, you know, I agree with you overall that, you know, if you're lucky and someone doesn't get an injury, it does, you know, should you then get off with, you know, half the number of games sat, it's a bit stupid, really. And as you said, it wasn't through anything that Crowder did that he wasn't injured. It was just, you know, pure chance that it didn't catch him right in the face. And as Aaron said, you know, that they can be career-ending injuries maybe life-changing injuries if you catch someone wrongly in the face. And sort of mentioning on that, sort of news out of Swindon that Tom Zrutkis, who iced for us a couple of times during pre-season, has had surgery following an incident with Jonathan Weaver. He's had, I think it's surgery on his jaw. Nobody has said what happened. There doesn't seem to be any video footage. But just before we came on air, I saw that West Mercia police are now investigating the matter as well. So,
really?
Yeah. So obviously, and it's an alleged assault, I think was the case, but whatever happened, and it's strange for someone, you know, a seasoned pro like Jonathan Weaver to be at the centre of it as well, but obviously, you know, hopefully we get to the bottom of it, but, you know, aside from that, sort of wishing Tom Trotkiss all the best in his recovery. And
yeah,
your second year in a row that, you know, a young prospect for Devils has, you know, hit, you know, quite a major injury early on in the season, which is, you know, scuppered a year when they've been on a two-way deal with us.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I really liked him in pre-season as well. So, you know, I thought I would have liked to have seen him make a couple more appearances for us. So, but as you said, best wishes to him. I hope he comes back and finds his, you know, his fitness and recovers quickly, and we can get him back on the ice.
Yes, most definitely. Right. So moving on from that into social media, and I think we had a couple of Raw Mike suggestions, Sean.
Yeah, we did. We had ones from Ever Faithful, Tony Dickin. Tony Dickin hated the result, but loved seeing all-time ass safety back from Florida. At least that's one of us. Hashtag Ramite, hashtag no party without Aaron. we had another Ramite also from Jason Manley. He said, hashtag Ramite, bad. Had to go to a wedding and miss the home game, but good. Had to go to a wedding and miss that home game.
If you are going to have a wedding, you timed it perfectly.
Oh yeah, definitely. Perfect from Jason Manley. Literally couldn't have said it better myself. He, like you said, picked a perfect day for a wedding.
Ramites, is, you know, what did you love and what did you hate about, you know, any part, you know, usually the weekend, but your specific games about the weekend, about anything that happened. So hashtag Ramites. Send them in to us and we'll share them on next week's episode. We also, on a regular basis, ask for burning questions, and we've not had one for a while. But this week, I think Tony Dickin has come up trumps and given us a question as well, Sean.
Yes, Tony Dickin, hashtag burning question. Which player from last season who didn't return do you miss the most, apart from Culligan?
I suppose I think Culligan would be mine. I think Sean and I would Culligan be number one for both of you? Sean,
yeah,
first?
Definitely. Yeah.
Aaron?
Yeah, definitely.
That's just you, know, to be interesting. Aaron seems to have run away from his microphone there, so we'll go to Sean first to... who do you think we're missing the most?
I'm just trying to think. Okay, so I think
Patrick Bordelot, David Bryan, Guillaume Doucette, Chris Jones, Scott Hotham, I think, are the only ones other than Culligan. Oh, and Denny Kearney as well, who obviously only played a few games for us.
I might be inclined to say Kearney because I did like what he brought when he was with us. I don't think he really had the chance to fully show what he could do, but I think there are other players. Doucette, a bit streaky. Bryan was a gamer, but I think in terms of what we replaced him with, I think we've done okay with that. It's a toss-up, definitely, between Patrick Bordelot and Scott Hotham. I'm gonna go with Scott Hotham because I think with Bordelot, I think that the deterrent factor has gone maybe, but I don't think we lack toughness. I think that's an issue that we've got. Scott Hotham was always solid, I think. I did like Scott Hotham. I thought he was one, you know, I thought maybe his offensive prowess could have been a bit more than we expected, but he was definitely solid, played the game the right way, wasn't afraid to get physical. There wasn't many times when you could say Scott Hotham had a bad game and caused a lot of problems for us defensively. And this year, I think there's members of the defensive core that have had games like that. And so, yeah, I think Scott Hotham.
Aaron, who gets your pick?
For me, it would probably be Scott Hotham too. Same reasons as Sean said, you know, he's consistent, very, very good player, intelligent, good with a puck, good shot. And he's very reliable, whereas, you know, one or two of our D-men currently aren't. You know, it's not saying they won't come, but at the moment they aren't. But the way Denny Kearney's playing in Milton Keynes, I wouldn't have minded him back. You know, 5 goals and 2 assists in, got like 5 league games. He needs to score them points for us any day if he wants to. But yeah, well, I'd go with Scott Hotham.
I think if he'd have had 5 games like that for us, I think you'd almost certainly have Denny Kearney in a shirt this season. Just the way it goes. And I think it may have happened if he hadn't have had that injury towards the end of the year. I am going to make it a clean sweep with Scott Hotham. I think, as Sean said, it's probably a toss-up between him and Wardlow. I think that sort of energy on the fourth line, when it was there, was good, but it probably wasn't there as much as you liked. And, you know, some quotes from Steve King during the off-season that he, you know, he'd said that he wouldn't fight when he was asked to, which, you know, was part of what he was brought in for. So, you know, whilst he was a deterrent, it's not that, you know, if you're turning down requests from your coach, never a good thing. For me, Scott Hotham, I think the makeup of our D is a little bit wrong. I think, you know, Scott Hotham wouldn't fix it, but we are running 5 import D this year. And I think that is possibly a bit of a problem. It's sort of hurting us in the bottom six as forwards. But I think we're also, you're very offensively minded. I think, you know, you've got Paris and Hotham, who both play, you're very offensively. Gleeson Fournier the same. And Bryce Reddick, who offensively seems to be a bit of a liability at the moment. He's caught out in the wrong place on the ice an awful lot. You know, he's got a couple of goals in the last week or two, so you know, hopefully he's starting to find his feet and coming good. But I think that, you know, sort of the steadying hand of Scott Hotham instead of Reddick would be the obvious one. I think he was the last D-man signed as well, so you'd think they would be the swap. Would just make that D just, it would just seem like a much more complete six for me. So yeah, excellent question. Thank you, Tony. And we couldn't get a player of the week, but we have got a definitive player that we miss most, and Scott Hotham is it. So we'll look ahead. Only one league game for the Devils this week. It's worth noticing that, you know, quite often where we're playing Scottish teams, we're playing a midweek away and then having one game weekends. I think you're a clever bit of scheduling from the Devils there to cut down on that. You know, play a game, travel, you know, the length of the country. So that's good to see. But we do welcome Brayhead on Saturday. We played them in pre-season when they were missing about half a team of imports, Sean. And are we expecting a tougher test from them this week?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the, like you said, when we saw Brayhead, they were missing a lot of their team. And yeah, I think that they picked up a good win in Nottingham last week. And yeah, they just seem to be maybe coming a bit more into their own. Obviously we'd be missing an import with the suspension of Paul Crowder. But this is another chance to, you know, I think the team owe it to the home fans to give them a performance. And so yeah, again, maybe not the hardest game to, or maybe not the hardest team to do it against, but yeah, I know. It's just, yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. And, you know, there's a few interesting players, you know, sort of Jacob Doty, sort of most notably, but you know, there's a couple of players in Brayhead who are not afraid to play physical. So I think there could be a bit of an edge to the game. They're currently 2 wins and 2 losses off the season, but, you know, as Sean said, a really good win in Nottingham on Saturday night. So a good team. Aaron, are you expecting, you know, as I think we said, that the performance against Dundee was good enough to beat Dundee. Do you think the Devils need to step it up, and do you think we will step it up to be able to deal with Brayhead?
Yeah, you know, Brayhead, really good team. Conference winners up in Scotland for the last couple of years running. You know, so if we want to progress against them, we need to be a little bit better than we were in Dundee. You know, we walked... You could say we walked over them in pre-season, but as Paul said, you know, they were down a couple of imports, so we could face a completely different team. So I am expecting a bigger and better performance in front of a home crowd on Saturday, and I hope I'm right.
Yeah, definitely be good to see. And if the Devils need to be a bit better than they were against Dundee to get a result against Brayhead, I think I think we would need an almost, well, I don't know what level of increase we would need to have any chance against Bexhill Lakers on Tuesday. In my mind, I know they've just shut out a team on the road tonight. I know very little about Swedish hockey as a general, so I don't know if they're a great team or poor team.
But you don't know a great deal about, you don't know a great deal about British hockey anyway, Paul, so.
That is very true, Sean. So why change that and connect with Swedish
hockey?
Sorry. So we need... Yeah, I'm pretty sure whoever they beat is going to be a better team than us. But I think we said very similar about the Davos game, Sean. But is an upset far, far too out of the realms of possibility in on Tuesday?
Yes, it'll be a miracle on ice if we come away with a result from that game. Quite frankly. I just don't expect anything from it at all. I'd like us to give the ball a kick and do what made us successful against Davos. I think we'll get found out a lot quicker against someone like Växjö. I don't know. It's so hard to say about the CHR what we expect and what we want to see, because what we want to see is we want to see a win more than anything. But what we expect, you know, what we expect to see is a drubbing. And so anything in between, does that make us happy? You know, it's so hard to gauge what would be a successful game against them. I think if we lost the game 5-1, it would be a successful game.
Yeah, I think I would. It's the one. I think, like in Davos.
Scoring a goal, yeah. Scoring a goal and keeping it to single figures, yeah.
I genuinely, that was my wish in Davos. We were one goal short on that. Växjö have beaten Davos twice in the CHL. So, you know, if we can do it against them, I think that's possibly an even better, well, not an even better result. Obviously, we've beaten Davos, but yeah, this is by far and away the toughest test we're going to have this year. And just hoping we don't fare too badly, Aaron.
Yeah, you know me. When it comes to these things, I'm Mr. Optimistic. So why can't we beat them? You know, it's my first game at the CHL game, so hopefully they'll turn up just because I'm there. It, you know, who knows? I'm not expecting big things. You know, Växjö are, you know, one of the top teams in the Swedish Hockey League, so I'm not expecting the win, but I didn't expect to win against Davos, and look what happened there. You know, we're at home. I think, you know, we are the type of team that thrives against good opposition. So why can't we win? What's going to stop us? And the only thing that can stop us is ourselves and a very
and
good
Växjö.
And Växjö. But I think if we play to our full potential, you know, we can get a couple of goals in, keep out the penalty box, and, you know, the game's ours to win.
I love Optimistic Aaron. it is a shame that we didn't do a lot of off-season podcasts, because me and Sean had a number of conversations with Aaron where he was convinced we were qualifying from our CHL group comfortably. So, that's a shame we never got that one on air.
We'll
do it. I'm not even convinced we can do it mathematically anymore, but you keep believing, Aaron. It's cute.
I have to.
Gone a little bit out of order of the run order tonight. That's the games coming up for the Devils. But another game on the horizon towards the end of October that we're going to talk about is the Mark Richardson testimonial. He's got his testimonial dinner on Monday the 23rd and the game on Tuesday the 24th. Bit of a difference this year. I think they've announced that the two captains, Matt Faulkner, Tyson Marsh, at the dinner are going to draft from the testimonial, you know, sort of the legends that return, and the current Devils to get a bit of a mixed team for both sides. So, bit of a change, but a testimonial I think that we've talked about, you know, many times. Obviously, Mark delayed it for the Matchka last year in, you know, a properly selfless move, you know, summing him up perfectly. But Sean, the, you know, probably the testimonial that I've wanted to be well supported the most in the time that I've watched the Devils, apart from possibly Gerard Adams due to the situation that was going on with the club. But, you know, Richardson never seeks the plaudits, never seeks the limelight, but, you know, just year in, year out has just been such a great asset for the Devils.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I don't think there's anyone, you know, where I can think of. You know, when you look at the last couple of testimonies we've had, and like Mark Richardson left us once, and he, you know, how long did it take him to come back? You know,
it's twice.
I know he went to Nottingham and Basingstoke in a spell there, but you know, it's been fairly consistent. And then he wanted to go and try his hand in Kazakhstan, and he was back within what, a month, maybe two.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of months, but you never fought a player for trying, you know, bigger, better leagues anyway, so...
No, exactly, yeah. And yeah, I think that Mark Richardson is the ultimate pro from what you hear from everyone. He's, you know, the first day in the morning, the last one out of training, games, everything. And he's always been, you know... Yeah, he's just a pro hockey player. It's what he does. He works hard at it, and I think he deserves every single bit of it.
And just to sort of run through the names, obviously said Matt Faulkner, Tyson Marsh. So they've run through the British returnees first, Neil Francis, Stevie Lyle, Matt Toe, Ben Davis, Paul Sample, Alex Simmons have been announced, and Kenton and Mark Smith, who obviously both still live in quite locally. Obviously quite a few more names to announce that are going to come through, but I think if you could go, You're not totally out there. Obviously, there's nobody crazy that you could pick, apart from possibly Paul Bissonnette. But if you could pick one player that you'd love to see come back and sort of play during the testimonial, Aaron, who would you go for?
It's a tough one. Like, I probably, you know, from my era of being a fan, I'd probably go with... Brent Walter, and you know he's a good laugh, a decent player. You know, he got good hands. You know, he's nails and all of that. So yeah, I'd go with Brent Walter. But then if I was going for like an older guy, like from before my time as a fan, I'd probably go Jeff Bagoy. You know, you hear all these stories about how good he was of a player, and you know, I've seen most of the retired shirts play in some game or another, but I've never seen, you know, Jeff Burgoyne as the legend play, so it'd be good for that standpoint to see someone like him. But yeah, those would be my... you did say one, but I picked two. I break all the rules.
You've not only picked two, you've picked the one that I was... Well, I was going to pick two as well, so I can't complain too much. Yeah, Jeff Burgoyne, he's never come back for a testimonial or... pretty much anything. We've not seen him in Cardiff Ice Hockey since he left. The last year of the tent, I think, is the last time he played for us, 2005-2006. And yeah, was a massive part of the first 3 years that I was a hockey fan. You know, he was probably my favourite player during that time. So yeah, it'd be great to see him back. Looking a little bit more recently, and you know, someone else who we haven't seen back in Cardiff since he left, that would get my pick as Aaron chose Burgoyne. I'm going to have two. It would be Wes Jarvis. I think would be, you know, great to see him back. I think he'd be a massively popular player to see back. And I could imagine his shirt being one of the very most, you know, one of the most expensive ones to go on the night, which, you know, obviously is a big part of the income for any testimonial. Sean, you can have two picks as well, as me and Aaron have.
Okay, I am going to go with someone who I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to go with two forwards. Mainly because I think this one player had a couple of years with us who just was, you know, pure gold. It just a personality that was absolutely unbelievable, and that could play so well as well. And that is Jayla Tulip. I just love what Jayla Tulip brought to the Cardiff Devils when he was here. His first year, he was just unbelievable. He came in a little bit late, injected a spark into this team, wasn't scared of anyone. Great hands, good shot, just a good skill set overall. But his personality on the ice, he was a proper rink rat. And yeah, he just loved being a hockey player, and I think that's someone who I would love to see I'd love to see him come back. And I did have one in mind for the second one, but I just realised that Richardson didn't play with him, so I'm going to have to have a rethink.
Who was it out of interest? Nice.
It was going to be Mike Purpich, but I don't think that that's.
I'm pretty sure Richardson would have played with him. He was here for a couple of years.
I think it was when Richardson wasn't playing with us. I'm pretty certain that he didn't play with him. So,
One just popped into my head as you were taking forever to think. It'd be great to see back Stu McRae as well. I think another sort of player that was a big part of that sort of era.
I'll tell you another one. My second one would probably be, despite his turn to the dark side and ruined his whole reputation, is Tyler Michel. Would like to see Tyler Michel come back and play one more game.
I've already seen him, so.
He was back last year, wasn't he? So, that would be great. Another one that's great to come back. Jed, I think Aaron's first pick of Brent Walton is another really good one. You're not with us for that long. But for the newer fans, and it is about making sure that you get players that are going to make fans want to buy tickets. And for a lot of the fans that have started watching us over the last couple of years, I think Brent Walton's one of those guys, and it would definitely make the party after the testimonial game a bit more interesting to have a character like him there. So I think, unless anyone else has got any other players you want to share, guys?
No, I think that's it.
Excellent. That is the podcast. So we'll be back next week, sometime after the Vectio game, to discuss that and the Brayhead game, preview the Belfast game and another Vectio game. During the week, please let us know your burning questions. Let us know your thoughts on the podcast and through the weekend, specifically Saturday and Tuesday, actually. Share us your Rahmites, what you love, what you hate about all things Devils, and we'll get them shared next week. So thank you for listening again. But for now, that is your Red Army Rounder. Devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. The devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.